a special episode of BulaNetwork.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to BulaNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you live from the Ellis Studio in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Special episode, and as you know by now, perhaps you know by now, special episodes mean, well, those episodes that I record a little bit off schedule. But today is a special episode in another way. It all begins with an idea. It all begins with an idea. Businesses and people wanting to embark on the road to self-employment, it begins with an idea. And you know where the idea, more often than not, stems from? Complete, utter dissatisfaction. People don't always know what they want, but boy, they figure out very quickly what they do not want. We are just racing into Labor Day weekend as I hit the record button. Today is Thursday, September the 1st. I released earlier in the day episode 100. Go back and listen to that. I'd love to get your feedback on it. On my mind, and this has been on my mind for a considerable length of time as I work with people and try to sort through various problems that face small business owners, in particular solopreneurs. And I confess that it has been some time since I have worked with a startup. I've typically been involved in businesses that have been ongoing. And for whatever reason, maybe they're stuck. Maybe the person just feels stuck. Revenues may be stuck. Personal income may be stuck. Just a variety of different kinds of problems. But people do engage me from time to time in conversation about starting a business, and especially people that have never really been involved in business so far as operating a business or owning a business. But they've been accustomed to working for the man. Now, let me shoot out a few disclaimers immediately. One, I am not opposed to working for the man. I'm not a person who comes from the perspective that if you have a job, if you have a career, then you have naturally sold out. And, your life just can't possibly be. It just can't possibly be as fulfilling as it would be if you worked for yourself. Self-employment is not for everyone. I have recommended since its release Carol Roth's book, The Entrepreneur Equation, and I have recommended it because Ms. Roth, I believe, provides a valuable service, and that is to help people kind of think through, do you even want to do this? Is this really what you ought to be doing? It is not for everybody. There is a reason why there's a tremendously high failure rate in new businesses. Because people get wide-eyed and very enthusiastic, and they think that their idea is so terrific, and there's no way that it can possibly fail. And unfortunately, that wide-eyed optimism often gives way to the dark clouds that tend to come over the horizon and just envelop so many people's lives. I heard as a young person, small businesses begin and they fail because, they're undercapitalized. They don't have enough money. I learned quite quickly that simply is not true. It can be true. it can absolutely be true that a company can start up and they can run out of money. It's a little bit like you hear a defeated sports team. You'll hear the coach say, "Well, you know, we didn't lose. We just ran out of time." Sometimes small business owners run out of time. That is, they just run out of money. They don't have enough money to sustain themselves for a long enough period of time so that they can break through to success. It does happen. Is it 100% the case? No. But it does happen. I think the fact of the matter is there's an awful lot of people that embark in building or trying to build a business, and they really don't have any business doing it because they don't know the business of doing it. They don't understand the business of doing it. The other thing is, I think people get really caught up, especially today. I see it today more so than I've ever seen it before, and I attribute it primarily to the internet, because the internet is a great revenue builder. It is a great avenue for telling stories. It's got greatness just plastered all over it. However, I think it can deceive people. I absolutely believe that it can deceive people, and people can believe that things are easier than they really are. I think people can see stories, they can read stories, they can hear stories, and they can believe it. They can believe everything. You know, we used to say, well, it's they printed it, or it's in the paper, or it's in a magazine. I mean, therefore, it must be true because it was published. And I think that same kind of mindset can sometimes bite people because they see it on the internet. And the assumption is, well, it's on the internet. It's got to be true. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. The fact of the matter is success is hard. Yeah, it just is. If it weren't, then everybody would easily achieve it. And we know that they don't. We know that smart people fail. And sometimes smart people fail quite often. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with failing. And the way that I would define failing for this conversation is trying something and discovering that, well, okay, that doesn't work. And I believe there is a truth to the fact that we have to have enough of a cushion financially so that we can try things and give ourselves the best chance to stumble onto something. And I hate to use that word, but man, so often it's just quite simply the case. You can listen to people who talk about, you know, their story, and I believe that those people that are being the most honest, they will tell you time and again, trying something, that didn't work. Trying something else, that didn't work. Trying something else and discovering, well, I don't even like that. And, you know, quite a few attempts in, they stumbled onto something that worked and something that triggered something within them, something that just, you know, kind of captured them. And it also happened to capture a little bit of success. And they were able to build on that and build something else on that. And just hopefully the momentum continues. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. But there's no one size fits all. Here's the real rub and the reason for today's show primarily. I think it's often easy for us to sit around and get captivated by an idea, but more often than not, there is pain behind most every story that I can think of, most every situation that I have some personal connection to, some personal awareness of, some situation that I can vouch for. In most cases, the endeavor, the enterprise, began in one of two ways. It began because there was some pain. There was some problem, and nobody is solving this problem. And it was a problem for the person. It was something that was very personal. It was something that was affecting them. And as they looked for a solution, they realized nobody's got the solution, so I'm going to make one. The other stems from not sitting around doing what you hear so many people talk about today, find your passion, but it stemmed from dread. It stemmed from, I'm in this cubicle, I hate this, I don't want this. It stems from being in some, you know, quagmire of a company, and you see friends being let go as this company is downsizing, and it's fear and it's panic that this could happen to me. I could suddenly get the nod from the corner office, hey, come see me, and all of a sudden my career's over. And that sense of helplessness, I don't want that. It's easy to fall in love, you know, with kind of the grandiose Cinderella kind of a story of just, and they lived happily ever after. It's just, that's, unfortunately, that's fairy tale. Unfortunately, that's not real life. And it's nice to get caught up in the person that's just driven to, you know, to do something and succeed at something. And those are great, terrific stories. But more often than not, in my experience, those too are rather like fairy tales. Success and the road to success is just not linear. It just is not. It is an up and down affair that is just riddled with potholes and detours and bridges that are out and roads that are under construction, and we're just muddling along trying to find our way. Would that you could just set about and you knew, okay, year one, this is kind of what it's going to be, and then year two, this is what it's going to be, and year three, and year four. No, it's not. It's not. We're living life, and life is very unpredictable, and there are curveballs that get thrown at us constantly, many of which are beyond our control. Yesterday morning, at about 6 o'clock, my daughter, married with two children, began to just writhe in pain. Now, about 2 months ago, she had pretty major back surgery, thanks in large part to an auto accident that she was in 5 or 6 years ago. And we knew it was going to be a long summer, and my wife has done the heavy lifting with the two grandsons, who are, you know, about 3 and 4. Give or take. And, you know, so everybody's kind of got their hands full, you know, trying to dive in and help my daughter. And all of a sudden, yesterday morning, she's here comes a curveball. Welcome to life. An emergency appendectomy occurs yesterday afternoon at about 4 o'clock. You know, okay, well, this was not planned. You just don't plan these things. And all of a sudden, everybody's life is turned upside down, and we've got quite a big affair going on this weekend, church-related. And so we've got people flying in from everywhere. We've got company going to hit the house, and it's like, man alive, could this happen at a better time? Well, yeah, it could have, but that's not how life works. Life works by just throwing crap at you every now and then, and you just have to deal with it. People can get all upset, and they can get worked up, and they can whine, and they can moan, and they complain, or they can just, you know, you can just buck it up and deal with it, because it's the stuff of life. And I'm not saying that for anybody to feel sorry for me or for my family or for my daughter. She's doing well. But it's just indicative of that whole notion, you know, when it rains, it pours. Speaking of which, we need rain, by the way. Here in Texas, I mean, the drought is crazy. There is a lake called Possum Kingdom Lake that is west of town. Over 7,500 acres burned over the last couple of days. It is so dry, and there is a bit of a resort area out there known as the Cliffs. And I don't know, 25, 30 homes burned down. Some of these homes are big homes. People didn't have any chance to get anything out. It was just get out with your life kind of a thing. I mean, most all of Texas is just a tinderbox right now, so we need rain desperately. But the phrase, when it rains, it pours, and who among us has not used that phrase? It's trite, but it's true. You know, things just seem to come at us when we least expect it, when we really least need it to, but welcome to humanity. And such is the case with our enterprises, such is the case with our businesses. And it doesn't matter if we're a solopreneur, it doesn't matter if we have a lot of resources, including the humankind behind us, problems come up. And we have to deal with it. I've said it for a long, long time, and it's among my favorite trite phrases: build a bridge and get over it. You just have got to build a bridge and get over it. That's two components that you've just got to engage in, and you have to embrace them both. I think building the bridge, you have to embrace the willingness to do that, but then you got to get across it. And both are difficult. You know, when life is knocking you down, it can be difficult to find a way to build the bridge. And then it's super difficult to get over it, cross it, and try to put this thing behind you. We're defined in large part, I believe, by all these circumstances that befall us. I think there's little doubt, and if you're a person of faith, as I am, a Christian as I am, there's little doubt that the trials and the tribulations that we go through, those are the things that, they shape us. They just shape us. They shape us. They may even define us. I don't think our surrender to them defines us. It can, but I rather believe that our reaction to it defines us. And if we decide to surrender to it, well, there's your definition. But if we decide that we're going to do our very best to, well, we can either overcome it. Sometimes you can't overcome it. Sometimes you just simply have to endure it. I know everybody likes to think about overcoming everything. There are things that you can't overcome because you're not as big and you're not as powerful as you might think you are. And even if you are an atheist, you're not as big as you think you are. And you're not as in control as you think you are. Have you ever known anybody who got a diagnosis that was fatal? Sure you have. That's a pretty big hurdle. That's a hurdle that you're not going to get over. That's a hurdle that you just have to endure. You just have to endure it. Now it's up to you. I'm thinking of, and his last name escapes me. His first name is easy because it's my name, Randy. The last lecture, that guy. I mean, who among us, if you haven't watched that, you need to watch that. So your reaction to this news, if the news were to befall you that you have some malady and there's just, you know, there's nothing that we can do. We can try to keep you comfortable, but your days are limited and that's that. You could refuse to believe it. Your reaction could be, no, I'm going to beat this. I realize nobody else has, but I'm going to. Now you could follow that delusion, and people do. People follow those delusions a lot. They go down to South America. They go to Mexico here from Texas. And, you know, there's some charlatan somewhere who claims he's got a cure and it's ridiculously expensive. And people exhaust themselves financially and otherwise, hoping against hope that the diagnosis is wrong or that somebody somewhere has an answer. And, of course, some time goes by and then the funeral is held and the family is devastated. Devastated by the news, devastated by the financial fallout because, well, they couldn't or wouldn't face the reality and deal with it, understanding that not every problem can be overcome. Now, let's not get so morose here. Many things can be overcome. Many things, with the help of those people that know us, care about us, and love us, and perhaps even others, many things we are capable of overcoming. We are capable, and we are capable of enduring them and coming out the other side. Not everything is fatal. Not everything is final. And when it comes to our businesses and our enterprises, the road to success is just not linear. It's just not going to be step one, step two, step three. Bingo! And as you shout out bingo, the world opens up and it is your oyster. And here's all this money and here's all this financial success and here's everything else that you imagined that it would be. And all of a sudden, it's just, there it is. It's terrific. It's great. It was very predictable. No, it's not predictable. It's often not predictable. Now, having said all of that, I must tell you that I am not a person who is given to shooting from the hip. I am not a person who is given to flying by the seat of your pants. I mean, whatever other trite cliche you want to use. I do believe that we need to plan. I do believe that we need to implement some strategy. I do believe in the whole notion of what I commonly call pre-thinking what we're going to do, pre-thinking our reaction, pre-thinking our behavior, pre-thinking kind of how we're going to approach the decisions that we face. I'm fully in favor of all that. I think that's a profitable way to live your life. But you know, some things you can't pre-think. Because, I don't know, about 48 hours ago, nobody in my family was pre-thinking, Renee might need to have an emergency appendectomy. But it happened. I can assure you she wasn't thinking that. We weren't thinking that. Her husband wasn't thinking that. Her little boys weren't thinking that. But bingo! We were winners. The boys did, I think, get a chicken dinner out of it, by the way. I think they did go to Chick-fil-A. They love Chick-fil-A. I confess I've never eaten at Chick-fil-A. I have great respect for the founder of Chick-fil-A, and I think it's a terrific story, and I've driven through numerous times to get stuff for other people. I've never eaten anything there. It looks good. It's not that I'm opposed to it. That's just an odd little fact that I threw in for free. The boys did get a chicken dinner out of it. So, you know, winner, winner, chicken dinner. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what the circumstances of your life are. It's highly probable that you are going to be like the rest of us, in that you are going to be driven in large part by one of two things. You're going to be driven by the problems that you face for which you can't find a solution. It may be more common that you're going to be driven by the very thing that you most dread. It could be that you're on the job and as people are being downsized and you are driven by the fear that it'll happen to you. And so now your inspiration, your motivation is, I don't want to be in this position. I'm going to do whatever I can to control my own destiny. And basically I'm going to start my own thing. You're in good company. And I don't think there's one thing wrong with that. And that really is kind of the point. There are so many people that are sitting around waiting for inspiration and waiting for, you know, I'm just, you know, some calling, waiting for some passion-driven something or other. And more often than not, in the real world, more often than not, I'm finding, and I have always found in my career, that people are driven by one or both of those things. a problem for which they can't find a solution, and so they feel like they need to go to work and figure out their own solution. And then there's the natural outgrowth of that is, well, if I've got that problem and I couldn't find a solution, maybe there are other people out there who've got the same problem and they also need a solution. Well, yes, more often than not, that is absolutely true. But I've run across way too many people that fit in the second category. It's I've jokingly referred to it in the past, it's that adage of, you know, I don't know what I want, but I don't want this. And knowing what you don't want sometimes can be as or more powerful than knowing what you do want. And so wanting to get away from something, wanting to avoid the dread of something, I can't take issue with that. I think it's an honorable point of inspiration. You know, the person who's in a cubicle and they are absolutely mortified, they go to work day in, day out, completely mortified that they'll be next. I think that's perfectly honorable and honest motivation to do something else. Now, does that mean that they are, you know, they should be self-employed? Not necessarily, but who could fault them for investigating it? Who could fault them for thinking it? You know, we've all got a story to tell. We've all got a story to tell, and I don't know anybody whose life has just been, you know, from beginning till present, just everything has just gone swimmingly. It's just not how life works. And I rather suppose life would be boring if it did work that way. And I know that we think in our minds, boy, wouldn't it be great if? Wouldn't it be great if the road to success was just this smooth, really smooth highway, and boy, the tires were in just perfect balance and the car was perfectly aligned, and you know, and we had one of those really cool cars that just kind of, they track the road like a go-kart and they've just got crazy horsepower. Man, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. But, you know, quite frankly, we find ourselves on the road and there's potholes everywhere that we're trying to avoid. There's debris everywhere and we're in some jacked up, you know, four-wheeler that's got knobby tires, you know, and one might be half flat. And there's life. I mean, there's the better depiction of how life really is. Yes, there are these moments. We get these moments where we're, boy, the asphalt is just, you know, it's just, it's so fresh. There's not a pit in it. It is just, it's speedway smooth. And boy, the car's just humming along and running great, and it's pedal down and we're going great. And you know what happens. All of a sudden, you know, we blow the engine. We have a blowout tire. I mean, something happens. And it's not just you, and it's not just me. If you've got breath in your lungs, it happens to you. Now, we all look at, here in Dallas, Texas, we got, you know, welcome to, you know, I mean, it's Beverly Hillbillies down here, dude. I mean, we've got some rich folks. Dallas in many ways is a very, well, I can tell you what it is. It's hedonistic. It's opulent in many ways. I mean, it's Neiman Marcus. Come on, you know, it's the whole notion of it all. But I don't care if you're talking about Ross Perot. I don't care if you're talking about Jerry Jones. I don't care if you're talking about Mark Cuban. Rich people have problems too. And if anything, you know, I think it's possible for people to have such wealth that they may feel like they're in greater command than they are. And then things happen and they realize, well, okay, no amount of money is going to give them one more minute than you've got. No amount of money is going to give them another day on the planet. Well, barring healthcare, you know, it's just, we've got so much time and we can do with it as we please. And, their money does not give them greater command of their behavior than your lack of money may give you. You know, we've all got to just put one foot in front of the other, and we've all got to figure out the best strategy for us, and we've all got to devote ourselves to something. I want to leave you with this, and it quite simply is the fact that it is not money that matters most. The problem with money is we've got to have it. We all know that. We all understand that. We all have to have it, and we all have to have a certain amount of it. And if anything is less than that amount, then there is stress. But you know what? Certain amounts more than that, and there's also stress. So there is this amount of money that we need. We need a certain amount of money to live. We need a certain amount of money perhaps to maintain our lifestyle. We need money for just for life. But so many people, you know, invest themselves so fully to the pursuit of money. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I am a capitalist pig. I'm a firm believer. My work, by and large, my work is driven by dollars. My work is driven to help companies and help solopreneurs increase their revenues, sales, and necessarily then build efficiencies to help increase their bottom line, that is their profits. And along the way, the natural outgrowth of that should be to increase their personal income. That's the objective. That's always the objective. My whole life, I've built my whole career on that, on the pursuit of that. And it's what I do. But it's not money that matters most. And you may say, well, I know that, dummy. Yeah, but do you really? Do you really? And do I really? I mean, do we behave ourselves every day as though we really fully understand that? I mean, you do realize that as life marches on and as people leave the planet because they die, it doesn't matter the business that they built. It doesn't matter the wealth that they built. Does anybody really care? You know, what is the legacy? I've been to so many funerals in my life, and I've been to so many funerals where there were not very many people there. Now, sometimes they're not there because, well, the person lived to be, well, the person just, they outlived all their peers. It happens. And it especially happens today with all of the wonders of modern medicine. And that's kind of sad. But I tell you what's sadder still is someone that you know did not outlive their contemporaries. And you look around and you wonder, where are the people? Where are the people that mourn the loss of this person? Well, I can tell you where they are. They don't exist. They don't exist because not everybody lives their life connecting with people. Not everybody lives their life helping people. Not everybody lives their life having a positive impact on other people. Now, maybe they devoted themselves to their bank account, and maybe they knocked the cover off the ball. But I've never seen a bag of money sitting in a funeral. I've never seen a bank account walk past a casket and pay homage to the person who put the money in the money bag. I've not seen that happen. You haven't seen that happen either. And you're never going to see that happen because money's indifferent. Money doesn't care. Money doesn't care if you're dead or alive. Money doesn't care if it's invested or if it's spent. Money doesn't care if it's blown on strippers or if it's put in the collection at church. Money doesn't care. Now, people get all hung up and misquote the scripture that money is the root of all evil, and that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil, and there you have it. There you have it. What's your motivation? What's your motivation when it comes to business? What's your motivation when it comes to maybe trying to earn more, earn what you're worth? Do you have a problem and you've just not been able to find a solution to that problem, and you've just set about and decided, you know, I'm just going to have to solve this myself because nobody else has solved it? Or somebody else has solved it, but they haven't solved it well enough to suit me, and I think I can do better. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're like so many others that I have seen in my life. You're really not sure what you want. You just know you don't want this. And you just know that this is just, you know, this is just not good. This is just tense, and, you know, it's just dread. You really just want to get out of the dread. You want to avoid the dread. Hey, I may be talking to you, and if I am, I'd like to hear from you. I really would like to hear from you. And you can reach out to me in a couple of different ways. Let me give them to you. They're over at the website. So if you're listening and you're not at the website, you're getting this through iTunes. Hey, by the way, thanks. Subscribe via iTunes. But if you're listening and you're not at the website, BulaNetwork.com, that's B-U-L-A, network.com. Go there and you'll find all kind of ways to reach out and connect with me. You can leave me a voicemail at 214-736-4406. All I ask is, you know, leave your name in some way for me to reach back. You can send me email to results, because results is what I'm always after. Results@BulaNetwork.com. I'm working on some things for you. I am. I'm trying to figure out some things that might help some people. If you haven't gotten some sense of it, I'm pretty bent. As I get older, I'm more bent. I'm more bent to just help folks. And I know that sounds, you know, like a platitude, and I know it sounds like so many other hokey people in the world. I seriously mean it. I'm a guy that I get frustrated when I want to help people, and I try to help people, and people are so jaded that they they don't want any help, you know. I understand it. I really do. But it does frustrate me from time to time. Life's too short. Life's too short. And it is not money. It's not only money that matters. So, hey, thanks for listening. Special episode. It's in the books. I hope you have a safe, happy Labor Day weekend. From the Yellow Studio, I'm Randy Cantrell. See you.